Good morning. It is time to get up with the confetti and the crown. South Carolina goes wire to wire. We'll tell you why it was even more impressive than you think it was. Meanwhile, speaking of impressive, we'll tell you why, even in defeat, we've never seen anything quite like Caitlin Clark. It's legacy talk time. And then, oh, by the way, did you see what the Sixers did yesterday? They've got one guy ready to take them straight to the top, and it's not the guy you think it is. All that and a whole lot more. It is Get Up. We are presented by ESPN Bet, and we are back and ready to go. Make some noise. What a day it was. What a weekend it was. And we've got you covered from every possible angle this morning on the championship yesterday and the championship tonight. And the NFL draft is coming up. And it's the last week of the NBA season. We couldn't be more jam-packed. And you see, Legler is here. And Andrea and Shanae are ready to go this morning. And we have coverage from every different direction. But we begin, while you were sleeping, with breaking news from men's college basketball. Kentucky coach John Calipari is finalizing a five-year deal to become the head coach at Arkansas in a move that will shake up the SEC. He leaves Kentucky with four Final Fours, one national championship in 15 years. Our senior writer Pete Thamel had this to say about the move.
John Calipari was on solid contractual ground at Kentucky, owed $33 million if they were going to fire him, but he was in a tenuous state with the fan base. What he did was run to open arms at Arkansas. It's a great reboot for both sides. Kentucky gets to go and chase a Billy Donovan. They get to go and maybe they'll throw a bunch of money at Dan Hurley if he wins tomorrow night. They get to go try to live out their biggest dreams, and John Calipari gets to go to a proud program with Final Four national championship pedigree and resell his vision and resell his image and resell his brand to a completely new audience that is hungry to win.
Just a fascinating move, I think, by everyone involved. Paul Feinbaum will join us a little later with his insight. Calipari went 4-10 and 123 in 15 seasons, fourth most wins, fourth best record of any D1 team in that time, won the SEC six times, won the SEC tournament six times, won the national championship in 2012, but we know he hasn't had much NCAA tournament success the last few years. Again, much more perspective on this as the morning goes on. But before we get to that, we get to this. They cut down the nets yesterday in Cleveland, and a spectacular finish to a season that felt both like the culmination of something and the beginning of something. And the stars were there, Caitlin Clark and Camila Cardoso and Jalen Hurts in attendance. And it couldn't have started better for Caitlin in Iowa.
Exactly how they had to get going to start this game. You knew they couldn't get hit by a big sledgehammer from South Carolina to start. Caitlin Clark here again, space and transition. You know how that ends up typically.
Look at the range. Iowa leading by as many as 11 early. The final seconds of the first quarter with 18 points in the first. Clark sets a record for total career points in the NCAA tournament. Iowa had the lead. But now we're 4 minutes to go in the third, and South Carolina has taken the advantage, and Tessa Johnson was so good.
Really, the difference in the game, perimeter shooting by South Carolina. You knew they'd have an advantage inside, but if they're going to shoot the ball like this from the perimeter, then Iowa really had no chance.
They had 37 points off the bench yesterday. South Carolina by 9, going to the fourth quarter, 7 minutes to go. The lead is 12. They would make one more run at it, led by Caitlin Clark.
Nasty crossover step back to get space, just trying to give your team one more shot to make a run at the end and put the pressure on South Carolina.
But every time they had a question, South Carolina had an answer. That was Bree Hall with a jumper, and then it's Cardoso. Just look how dominant she is inside. Fifth player in the last 25 years with 15 points and 15 rebounds in a championship game. And then it was over. Caitlin Clark's legendary career comes to an end. South Carolina to the victors go the spoils. Dawn Staley, they are the national champs. Coach, talk to me when it was done.
So I'm just super proud of where I work. I'm super proud of our fans. I mean, it's awesome. It's awesome. It's unbelievable.
To be honest, this year was probably more special than last year. You know, the teams we had to go through to get to this point, you know, we won the Big Ten tournament. We lost two players that were three-year starters for our program, and to be back in this position and come out here and battle. I mean, South Carolina is just so good. Like, there's only so much you can do.
All right, and so let's dive into it. Put your feet up, folks. We're not going anywhere for a while. We have plenty of time to dive into this, and here's who you want to hear from. Drea and Shanae are up with us early this morning from Cleveland. Guys, thank you so much for being with us every morning all through all of this. Let's start right at the top. Drea, you told us 2 weeks ago South Carolina was the best team. Why did they win yesterday?
Well, Greeny, first of all, South Carolina, their size, their skill, and their depth. The depth of South Carolina. You mentioned in the highlight, 37 bench points. The one thing you left out, Iowa had 0 bench points. South Carolina rolled in players after players. Dawn Staley talked about how she had a set rotation, a complete plan for how to defend Caitlin and how to rotate her players in. And they came in, and we have to talk about Raven Johnson, because Raven Johnson came into this game with a lockdown seatbelt gang defensive mindset. She guarded Caitlin Clark. She limited Caitlin Clark, and the steal going into halftime, that steal right there was the turning point for me.
But it was the tournament's most outstanding player for me. Of course, it's got to be a big Camilla Cardoso. She showed up huge, and there was a specific moment in the second quarter. I want you to watch this. She gets the monster block, and then the next possession down, Iowa, what they did so well throughout the tournament was run zone, but you gotta still feed the big girl. She was patient, she kicked it out, got the ball in, and then finished at the rim. Now, Greeny, one of your favorites of all time in sports is the late, great Pat Summitt, and I've been saying it all tournament long. Offense sells tickets, defense wins games, rebounding wins championships. Camilla Cardoso, 15 points, 17 rebounds, 7 of those are offensive, and that's why the Gamecocks won as well. If it was one player to me, I'm sorry, Drea, it was a big.
Okay, but the steal at half court right before halftime from Raven Johnson on Caitlin Clark, who's one of the greatest ball handler scorers we've ever seen. Raven held Caitlin 3 of 11 from the field. All 4 of Caitlin's turnovers came against Raven Johnson. And listen, Greeny, there's a little layer to this too. Raven Johnson was waved off by Caitlin last season, and she took it personally. She said she got to a really low place, and she flipped that into motivation. And then to come and perform like this, it was an inspiring performance from Raven.
And so, Legler, you and I were talking before we came in here, just a couple of guys sitting around in makeup, as we, you know, tend to be. And the thought that you and I both had was they just had too many answers. Like, Caitlin Clark did what she could out there, and I thought you said it better than I'll say. They maxed out, right? Iowa gave you everything they had. They just ran into an opponent that was just better than they.
I mean, ultimately, you're hoping to pull off some sort of a miracle, which I think it would have taken. You know, I referenced the Villanova versus Georgetown in 1985. You have to pitch almost a perfect game against South Carolina. Too big, too deep. They both hit on that. And then if you tack on the three-point shooting, that to me was the difference. This is where they got separation at the end of the third quarter. The last 4 minutes of the third, they hit 3 threes during that stretch. And Iowa is, for the most part, giving these shots. You don't have a choice because you have to back so many bodies into the paint to protect against that size.
Tournament,
you got to try to gang rebound in the paint. But the three-point shooting, to me, that's where they got the separation. And that's where the Iowa coaching staff can't account. They can't account for that as well, and that to me is why this South Carolina team was better than last year.
Yeah, and so look, we can go, as far as Caitlin Clark is concerned, we can go little picture, we can go big picture. Let's start with little. Her performance this weekend, I mean, that game on Friday night, Drea, was a war, right? I mean, as tough as it could possibly be, and then they turn around, what is it, 36 hours later, or not much more than that, and you go out there with this. She to me, I'm not making excuses. She looked like it might have been a little much for her. She looked just tired and worn down after carrying so much of the load. How about her performance yesterday?
Hats off to Caitlin. I mean, Coach Staley gave Caitlin her flowers. You mentioned big picture, but to talk about this performance, Greeny, on Friday, she had Nika Mule in her jersey almost the entire game. She was physical. She was getting beat up. Her arms were getting hit. Imagine what Caitlin had to deal with, in my opinion, is what post players deal with in the game of basketball, not what guards deal with. So you go from dealing with this level of physicality to dealing with the number one defense in the nation and seeing that same level of physicality from Raven Johnson, and you still put up 30 points.
Thank you.
Hats off to Caitlin. She still put up 30. It's unbelievable what she was able to do.
She still put up her season average. I think she averages now 31, 32 against, people sleep on the fact that this is the number one defense in the nation, and it was wild. This was the first time in 25 years we had the number one defense versus the number one offense, and that number one offense goes as Caitlin Clark goes. Y'all, every time there's a major moment, every time there's a record, she's like, you know what, no big deal. I'll just get it out of the way really quick. Let me just score a quick 18 points to become the all-time tournament leader in points in the first quarter. When we were on set watching this, we're like, this woman is different. Now, she was going up against a staunch defense, a defense that had bodies to rotate against her. But for her to still drop 30 in the natty, Caitlin is different.
And too, Greeny, just to cap off as far as depth goes, I want you to think about this. So in Friday's semifinal game, no one for South Carolina played over 30 minutes. No one. But the starters for Iowa played 37 to 40 minutes, Caitlin notching 40 minutes on Friday. So the difference in just simply being fresh coming into this championship game, that's a big difference as well. And Caitlin handled it like a pro.
Yeah, and so that's the little picture. We can certainly dive into that, but I think the big picture feels more important. And I opened the show by saying yesterday felt both like the culmination of something and the beginning of something. And everyone can see the shirts you guys are wearing this morning. And it's awesome because, quite candidly, that hasn't always been true. And now all of a sudden, it feels very much true. So, Chinne, I'll start with you. How do we appropriately on this morning put into perspective, now that it is actually over, what Caitlin Clark's season and college career meant?
Caitlin Clark is the most impactful player that the game has seen in a generation. What she has done single-handedly, putting the women's game, particularly through the platform of Iowa, has put us on the map in ways that we have never seen. To be a part of a moment where it wasn't just sellouts during games. Greeny, at the open practice, we had 17,000 people there. A lot of them are Iowa fans. What she was able to do, how many records did she break, Drea?
45 records from tournament to D1 to Big Ten. 45 records in her career. It's unreal.
Yeah, and what I just love about Caitlin Clark is that she continues to uplift the game. I mean, Dawn Staley had a tremendous moment after they won. She came to the mic and said, hey, yes, it's awesome. But at the end of the day, what Caitlin has done, we stand on the shoulders of those who come before us, but a rising tide also lifts all boats. And she just rose that tide and just continued to push the game forward. So to see, like you said, she did it like a pro.
Yeah,
she is a pro now.
She's a pro.
And she's been a pro all season long. And just to see what she will continue to do will be very impressive.
Yeah, we're going to play that those comments from Dawn Staley on the microphone right after. We're also going to talk about what this championship means for the coach, who now cements a legacy that is still ongoing as one of the greats of all time. Much more coverage of this game as we go all morning long. Again, we've cleared the decks to have this covered for you from every possible direction. In the meantime, we'll take a short break right now. But as we continue, little NBA legs. Did you see what the Sixers did yesterday? The guy they have ready to take them straight to the top isn't the one everyone expects. We'll talk about that. Plus, what has happened to the Milwaukee Bucks? Are they more likely to make a run or to be one and done? We got all that and a whole lot more on a very unique day. And Championship Monday here. Get up on ESPN. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures.
So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Get Up is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN, and in part by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need. Today's wake-up call, South Carolina completes the perfect season. Here's how it sounded.
6 seconds to go. Perfection with a touch of sweet redemption. Undefeated South Carolina has won its third national championship.
My buddy Ryan Rucco with the call yesterday on ABC, and the reaction was everywhere. LeBron James watching tweeted, "Protect Dawn Staley at all costs. No ifs, ands, or buts." Angel Reese tweeted, "I'm so happy for Dawn Staley. As a black woman, I admire what you've done. You always checked on me and always loved me like your own." Asia Wilson, who won a championship with South Carolina in 2017, tweeted, "Dawnie crying. Yes, ma'am. Happy tears. One of one. A dog. Congratulations." We will have much more with Chinee Andrea as we continue. Meantime, Legler, I want to show you, and you want to talk about sweet redemption? This is redemption for me. Tyrese Maxey. I'll explain why in a moment. But they were taking on the Spurs yesterday. No Embiid in this game. Spurs had a 7-point lead, and Wembanyama was ridiculous.
Defies all logic. A guy this size can have that in his arsenal. A sidestep corner three.
He had 33 points and 18 rebounds, but the Sixers would fight back, led by Maxey finding Batum.
Super underrated pickup, by the way. Nicholas Batum is going to pay big dividends in the postseason.
Yeah, and San Antonio, they've been playing pretty well down the stretch of the season, actually. They have a 2-point lead here. Final seconds of regulation. Maxey for the tie.
Well drawn up play and a great counter by Maxey. He's going to get denied, so he makes the back cut, gets to the rim to force overtime.
Tyrese Maxey, a career high 52 points in this game. And in the OT, he would take over.
This is why he's special. He makes all these runners, odd angles, opposite foot, but the Spurs weren't going away. Ponte Graham gives them the lead again with a minute to go.
Yeah, and so the Sixers needed another bucket. And they find on the pretty dish KJ Martin. We go to a second overtime, and that's where Philly would put this one away. Up by 5 already, and they're dunking again.
Yeah, Ricky Council, KJ Martin gave them huge minutes in production in this game to help close this out. Embiid couldn't play back-to-backs. Huge game for Philly, and they get the win on the road.
Watch them play their way out of the play-in. Maxey, a career-high 52. Again, Wembanyama had 33 and 18. But Tyrese Maxey now has 3 50-point games this season. That ties Embiid and Allen Iverson for the third most by a Sixers player in any season ever. Embiid also has 3 50-point games this year, so it's the Sixers' first time that they have multiple players with at least 3 50-point games in a season. But I mentioned this is sweet redemption for me, because when I was hosting NBA Countdown a couple of years ago, I got into this heated debate with Stephen A. and Michael Wilbon, both of whom I love and admire, and both of whom have forgotten more basketball than I'll ever know. But I kept telling them, James Harden is not the second best player on the Sixers. Tyrese Maxey is the second best player on the Sixers. And if they had treated him that way then, they may not have lost some of those heartbreaking series that they did. And he is the reason that Embiid has a chance to make it look different this year.
Well, that night, you should have just phoned a friend. I would have popped up and I would have backed you, because what I've said about Tyrese Maxey, even going back to 2 years ago when they lost in the playoffs to the Heat, certainly what happened last year against the Celtics, Tyrese Maxey should have been given more control of the offense. And I know it's a difficult thing to do because James Harden plays one style. You bring him in to allow him to play one style. He dominates the ball to that extent. Maxey was off ball. He was a little bit forgotten at times offensively. Here is where Maxey's biggest impact comes. He affects Joel Embiid's body language. He affects his psyche, because he knows Embiid, when he looks at his co-star, This isn't someone who is going to run from the brightest lights, and he felt that from the previous two-point guards. James Harden in the postseason, Ben Simmons certainly the way that it ended for him in that Atlanta series before he left town. And Embiid would be affected by that. And look, justifiably so. He had some bad games when he needed to be better, but I think it's because he felt like he was out there by himself in terms of no co-star was going to step up tonight. Maxi gives him a different level of confidence. They've got incredible chemistry. And Embiid, as a result, wanted to fight his way back to have this run here at the end of the regular season and see what can happen in the postseason. And when you look at the top of the East, Greeny, outside of Boston, Philadelphia can make a strong argument that they can make a run all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals. In fact, I think they will. If they can get the seventh seed, I do think that's important to have that 1-7-8 game at home. So then you avoid the Celtics as the 7 seed. If you go on the road as a 7-8, lose, even if you end up the 8, you get Boston right off the bat in the first round. They're not going to beat the Celtics.
Sixers are red hot right now, and I so agree with everything you just said about Maxi, his impact on Embiid and his impact on this overall picture right now. And so, by the way, Alan Hahn was sitting in here the other day saying, Greeny, why do you all of a sudden think when Embiid has never taken this team here, there, or anywhere? Maxi is the reason why this could be different. In the meantime, the team, one of the teams they're chasing, the team who will probably wind up in the 2 spot, is Milwaukee. They had dropped 4 straight games going into this, or they had dropped 3 straight entering this. Spoiler alert, they're going to lose this game too to Jalen Brunson and the Knicks, even though Milwaukee has an 11-point lead. But here comes Brunson.
And listen, what he does with just footwork, balance, strength, and IQ is amazing. And he did it again in this one, just controlling the game.
He and Isaiah Hartenstein were both terrific, especially in that third quarter. The Knicks would score 39 points in the quarter and erase the entire deficit, take the lead on the road. And the Knicks would pull away in the fourth quarter. And again, it's led by Brunson, who had 43 points.
And this play right here, you know how difficult it is to go that hard, pivot away and not drag the pivot foot to travel? That's all strength and understanding what you're trying to accomplish. And Dante DiVincenzo has had a career year offensively for the Knicks.
Yeah, it was 8 of 11 from 3. DiVincenzo was 26 points for the Knicks, who wind up winning again. And so, look, their story is terrific. They've had a really good year. The injury to Randall is a terrible break for them. But Brunson has had like an all-NBA, I think, second team probably season when you consider SGA and Luka. But how about Milwaukee? I mean, I thought they were going to catch fire, and it has been the absolute opposite.
It's very bizarre what's happened to them. You expected a transition period when Doc got there and they weren't very good, but then they started playing better. And I thought personally in watching them, they were playing harder. I didn't think there was any massive adjustment made by Doc in terms of scheme, but he was definitely making them more accountable for their effort. But now you're starting to see shoulders drop, body language not great. It looks to me like there's a lack of belief collectively amongst this group. And right now they're reeling. I mean, this is a team that's been one of the worst in the league in clutch games since Doc got there. So if you get them into a one possession game, 5 minutes to go, they are coming up on the short end of those games. Their metrics aren't there offensively, defensively. I still don't think Lillard and Antetokounmpo have really found their peak stride offensively that can overcome some of these things. So as you look at it right now, the Milwaukee Bucks are just not an imposing team, Greeny.
They are 2 games under 500. You saw it on your screen since Doc Rivers became their coach. All right, more on that as we go. But coming up, we go back to Caitlin Clark. We will tell you why, even in defeat, we have never seen anything quite like her. It is legacy talk time. I will explain who I think a good comparison should be. Plus, big breaking news. While you're asleep, John Calipari leaving Kentucky. We will hear the reaction of the mouth of the South. Next, you're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Back on Get Up, approaching the bottom of the hour, we are presented by ESPN Bet. And of course, the huge weekend after losing to Iowa in the Final Four a year ago, South Carolina got the win and got revenge. They become the first team since UConn in 2016 to win the championship with a perfect season. It was the ending to Caitlin Clark's incredible college career, which included getting Iowa getting to the Final Four twice. Their only other appearance came in 1993, and certainly even in defeat, all the big names were commenting on social media yesterday about Caitlin Clark. Sue Bird tweeting, "What a season for Iowa women's basketball. What a career for Caitlin Clark. We undoubtedly watched one of the all-time best college careers ring or not. Thank you for helping elevate our sport with your play, your poise, and of course your logo threes. I can't wait to watch you at the next level." Brianna Stewart, herself another of the GOATs, tweeted, "Incredible career by Caitlin Clark, literally uncharted territory. Excited to see her continue in the W." Dwayne Wade tweeted, "Caitlin Clark, thank you for raising all of our awareness even more this season. Us fans can't wait to follow your pro career." And even Dawn Staley, the championship coach, in her moment of triumph, took moment to recognize Caitlin.
"I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport, and it just is not going to stop here on the collegiate tour. But when she is the number one pick in the WNBA draft, she's gonna lift that league up as well. So Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, you are one of the GOATs of our games, and we appreciate you."
Again, that's a pretty rare moment, and Chinee and Jay are back with us, and you guys referenced that a little bit earlier. I mean, that is special, and Chinee, I guess it just goes to show you the degree of respect that Caitlin Clark earned this year, something, I won't say unprecedented, but certainly not frequently precedented.
Look, Greeny, I'm getting goosebumps. Yeah. Drea and I here just hearing that. And what comes to my mind is game recognized game, period. What Caitlin Clark has done has been transcendent, has been impactful, has been one of a kind. Y'all, 45 records, whether it is D1, NCAA tournament, Big Ten, she broke. Also, I mean, she is the result of the revolution that Steph Curry kind of brought to the game recently, shooting threes. I mean, if you look at her shot chart, it is a coach's dream. Layups and threes, and she does it to perfection. And to talk about uplifting the game at the next level, I played against Maya, I played against Diana, I played against Candace. The list goes on and on. One thing that translates is shooting. And she is going to get open shots at the next level, and I think that she'll continue to sell out. I mean, the world is her oyster, and I'm just in awe of how she carried the weight of the world and continued to deliver.
You know, I think it was really special, Greeny. We were talking to Lindsey Gottlieb, who coaches Juju Watkins over at USC, and one thing that she said, she was like, "It's South Carolina's season, but it's Caitlin Clark's world." And Caitlin Clark's impact on the game has just taken over the country. It's probably taken over the world in some places. The way that she rises to every occasion, whether it's breaking a record, she doesn't break it, she obliterates it. The way she ignites confidence in her teammates, her leadership, the grace that she shows, the energy that she plays with, the competitive spirit, and to be honest, the financial impact Ooh. Of Caitlin Clark's presence on the floor alone, whether it's in an away arena, whether it's at a Big Ten tournament, the NCAA tournament, and even in the league already. Indiana Fever, they have the number one pick in the draft. Their ticket prices have already gone up just in the anticipation of having Caitlin Clark on the floor. So the impact, Dawn Staley said it, she carried a heavy load, and she carried it so well, she carried it so far. So we thank Caitlin also.
And she's just getting started.
Right, like this is the beginning. This is literally the beginning.
Yeah, the impact that she had on the floor and off, extraordinary. And look, I heard so much of the GOAT conversation over this weekend, and that's going to lead to arguments, and I think all that is fabulous. That's what sports conversation and debate are about. And I'm not here, I'm not the right person to tell you, is she a greater player than Diana Taurasi, Breonna Stewart, Cheryl Miller, Candace Parker, any of the other greats who came before her. But I am here to tell you that I believe she has had an impact on her sport this year that reminds me that the comparison I would make would be to a young Tiger Woods. I feel like when Tiger Woods came along, I'm someone who loves golf. And I loved golf before it was fashionable for everyone to love golf. And then Tiger Woods came along and suddenly everybody loved golf. He brought people to the tent who had not previously been interested in peeking inside. And I think that is the comparison, Chinee, for what Caitlin Clark did this year. She brought people to the sport who hadn't been paying attention before. And to do that in a team sport rather than an individual sport like golf is especially remarkable.
Yeah, and one thing that Dre has always said is there's no Caitlin Clark without Angel Reese. There's no Angel Reese without Caitlin Clark. One thing that I love, and we're going to make comparisons, is Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. Iron sharpens iron. And to be able to see these big moments, at times controversies, at times contradicting personalities, that's what also uplifted the game. And it's just birthing more stars. When people ask me, what is the state of women's basketball based off of the success of Caitlin Clark? It's that she has been a multiplier in the sense that where she stands, she continues to raise the bar, and so do other players. Yeah. Now we're talking about the WNBA draft that is loaded, y'all. Yeah. And then on top of it, the game is in such a healthy place. Super seniors going to the WNBA, also a stellar freshman class. I mean, a freshman helped you win a natty this year. And that same, you know, team had a freshman that was most outstanding player at the SEC tournament. And then when we talk about Caitlin Clark, at number two in scoring was a freshman in Juju Watkins. Yeah. So, I mean, I just love how the women's basketball continues to level up.
Yeah, and I think it's really special too. You know, Caitlin post-game, she talked about handling all the pressure and handling these moments, and she said she doesn't really feel pressure because she trusts the work that she puts in. Like, one thing that I think people forgot is pressure went up this season for Caitlin, and her numbers got better, Greeny. Like, she lost key pieces to her team. All eyeballs were on her. All defenses were to stop her, and she got better with all the distractions this season. Her numbers improved. The work ethic that people will learn from Caitlin Clark, how to handle pressure, is by trusting the work that you put in. So she is an incredible example for so many people. Put in the work, love what you do, love who you do it with, and success will come. Like, for her to shine this way, someone had the nerve to ask me if Caitlin Clark was getting too much attention. I said, absolutely not. She deserves all of this. She's such a hard worker. She's so passionate. She's competitive. And she's taking the college game to the next level.
You're better than me.
Level.
You're better than me.
Yeah, well, I know. We just got on Get Up, so I'm not going to go crazy. But
feel free to
she's
go crazy,
do the same
Graham.
Thing to the W. Yeah. The W is going to elevate. Okay, I said, hell no, Caitlin Clark, as it isn't getting too much attention.
Thank you.
She deserves every bit of this.
I mean, look, the comparisons are there. It is very rare that this happens in a team sport, that someone brings this level of attention to it all. It has happened in individual sports, because individual sports count on that. They count on individuals coming along and making everyone interesting, and that is the rising tide that lifts all the other boats. All right, guys, stay close by. We have much more in this as we go. We have to talk about Dawn Staley. We have to talk about what this championship means for South Carolina. But we also have to talk about the enormous breaking news overnight from the men's college basketball world, and that is that Kentucky coach John Calipari is no longer Kentucky coach John Calipari. He is finalizing a 5-year deal to become the coach at Arkansas. He leaves Kentucky with 4 Final Fours and 1 national championship in 15 years. So he jumps from 1 super high profile, I guess the highest profile basketball program in America in the SEC, to another in the same conference with a good, proud tradition, and obviously they won a championship there in the 90s, and they've had, historically, they've had a lot of really good teams at Arkansas, but it doesn't have anywhere near the history that Kentucky does. And so when things happen in the SEC, I always get like a little hankering to hear from Paul Finebaum. So I said, let's call up Paul and see what he thinks of this. He is the mouth of the South. So Coach Cal, jumping from Kentucky to Arkansas 2 weeks after the AD at Kentucky tweeted, yes, I sat down with Coach and he's coming back and we're going to go forward. What do you make of this, Paul Finebaum?
Greeny, amazingly, I think both fan bases are happy this morning. You say, well, how could that be? Cal is a legend. Well, he's a legend who had really played out at the University of Kentucky. Fans were tired of him. When he got knocked out by Oakland a couple of weeks ago, that was the second time in three seasons he lost in the first round. That is unforgivable. And I think he came, Greeny, within a whisker of getting fired. The only reason he stayed there, a $33 million buyout. Meanwhile, Arkansas has been a great program. We know about Nolan Richardson and that epic era, but Eric Musselman had taken them to two Elite Eights and 3-16s. And when he left the other day, people were going, where can this program go? They get John Calipari, who on one hand may be diminished, but when you give him a chance to restart, he might be a welcome to that fan base. But the University of Kentucky this morning has an opportunity now to upgrade the program after Calipari.
And what does that mean? Who should we be expecting to start hearing about at Kentucky in the next day or two?
Well, I think the names you'll hear are Dan Hurley. Obviously, he's the best coach in college basketball, but I don't think he's a legitimate candidate. But the one you have to keep your eye on, we just saw SEC to SEC, keep your eye on Nate Oates. He just took Alabama, yes, Alabama, to the Final Four for the first time in history. The only issue, he just got a new contract from Greg Byrne, the athletic director, and Greg Byrne put a $20 million buyout. Now, you say, that is enormous. How could you possibly pay 20? Think about it, Greeny. I realize I'm not Jim Cramer here this morning on Wall Street today, but Kentucky just saved $33 million by not firing Cal. So they have a surplus of plus 13 if you're doing the math here before the Dow opens. I think they could say, why not go after the best coach in the SEC right now, who is Nate Oates.
Paul, are you going to tell me that Alabama is going to lose Nick Saban and Nate Oates in the same month or relatively close to that period of time? Could that happen?
Well, I mean, it's possible. Nate Oates loves Alabama, but and I think Alabama's run was phenomenal, Greeny. But listen, Alabama is not Kentucky. Kentucky is the gold standard. Alabama football and Kentucky basketball are essentially the same thing. So Nate Oates does not need a refresher course in the event he takes the job.
I'm with you. And by the way, Pete Thamel mentioned the name Billy Donovan, who, of course, was the last a basketball coach to win back-to-back national championships on that level at Florida, been in the NBA now for the past, whatever it's been, decade. And so that's another name to keep an eye on. Paul, we'll check in with you again soon. Thanks for getting in here. We'll hear you on the radio and much more later today. In the meantime, as we continue, today is the first day of the final week of the NBA's regular season. I've got the five biggest questions yet to be answered, and Tim Legler's going to answer them one after another. Next, get up on ESPN. You're watching Get Up. We are presented by ESPN Bet. It is, of course, Masters Week. I mentioned Tiger Woods a few moments ago. Well, I insist we talk briefly about golf because Tiger Woods is at Augusta National. There isn't a much better sentence I could speak aloud than that one. He's already got five jackets in his wardrobe. Is there room for a sixth? We will see. He will be trying to break the all-time record for most made cuts at the Masters. If he's able to play into the weekend, he has made 23 cuts. 24 would be a new record. So that these are pictures of this morning. Tiger Woods practicing at Augusta. It does appear all systems are go, and he will be ready to go on Thursday for the start of the Masters, which, of course, you will see here on ESPN. In the meantime, it's just a huge week. It just couldn't be a bigger one. And one of the reasons is because it is the beginning of the final week of the NBA regular season, which wraps up on Sunday. So, Legs, my green list today is the five big questions that are yet to be determined. And so I'll ask them, and then let's see here your answers to them. So at number five, the question is, who winds up five in the East? The Cavs, the Magic and the Knicks, as of yesterday, where the three of them were separated by one game. Who winds up without home court advantage in the first round?
I think it's probably Cleveland. Look, and some of this is based on schedule. Some of it is based on the fact that Donovan Mitchell's banged up, right? Yeah. That's a problem for them. I think the schedule's more favorable for the other teams, and Orlando's playing great. And look, Orlando, I'm looking at them, Greeny. I'm still thinking they might have a shot at the two seed. Orlando might be the two seed in Eastern Conference when it's all said and done, but I think most likely Cleveland goes on the road in the first.
Because the Bucks have just been in a free fall. But of the three teams I just named, which is the most dangerous out of Orlando, Cleveland, and the Knicks? If I told you one of these teams is going to make a run all the way to a conference final, which would you tell me it's going to
be? Wow, that is tough. I'm going to probably...
Any of them?
But I probably would take the Knicks because I think the Knicks consistently play harder than their opponent, more than any team probably in the NBA, and they have a proven playoff star at the point, a guy that can control the game, control the action. Being that shorthanded, look, if Mitchell's banged up, that's a problem for them. So maybe it ends up being the Magic, but I don't think any of these teams can realistically challenge the Boston Celtics, and I do think there's one other team out there that is starting to get their act together because they just got a guy back in Philly in Embiid. And I think Philadelphia, if they avoid Boston, Philadelphia might be the biggest threat of all.
So we'll get to them. So that was question five. Here's number four. And I don't mean it literally because we don't know, but the question is going to be who avoids Denver in the West? As we sit and think about who's going to wind up making a deep run, Denver, we don't know if they're going to wind up one or two or three.
Right.
So you don't even know how to avoid them if you want to. But the question, and particularly among the big stars in the West, the Durants, the LeBrons, the Stephs, who doesn't wind up having to play them immediately?
My answer to that question is whoever is smart.
Right.
Whoever
right.
is smart.
Right.
Look, and you can't orchestrate it. And I was just having this conversation about Dallas, like, because I think Dallas is a real threat. But they don't know where Denver's going to finish to avoid them in the first round.
Right.
Denver could be one, two, or three, and Dallas just has to go out and win games. I say the same thing about these other teams. Unless it comes down to the last game of the season, and you kind of know then how you could orchestrate things by sitting guys, I think some teams would look at that. But right now, because you don't know, you've got to just go out and play games and hope you don't fall on their side of the bracket.
Okay, so that's number four. At number three, the question is, can the Lakers make it all the way to the sixth seed? Now, full disclosure, yeah. I wrote this question yesterday afternoon, and then LeBron didn't play yesterday, right. and Anthony right. Davis got a little bit banged up in the eye, and they lose a game yeah. last night, and all that momentum seems to go sideways. But just how dangerous, at full strength, do the Lakers look right now?
Yeah, I think it's doubtful, first of all, they make it out of the play-in.
Right.
I just don't, because it's not just one team you've got to worry about. You've got several there in the mix. Right? Any of those teams could win three out of four, and then Lakers have no shot at
right,
that.
Right.
So I think they probably end up in the play-in. And I think, as in that spot, dangerous, assuming they get out, and then again, they don't get Denver right off the bat. And who knows how that's going to play out. But if you get the Lakers in a seven-game series against Minnesota or Oklahoma City, and they're healthy and LeBron is healthy, I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of people that are going to pick the Lakers to win that series.
Yeah, Minnesota's the team they played last night. But again, LeBron didn't play, and Anthony Davis yeah. got hurt.
You can't take anything out of a Lakers game if LeBron doesn't play.
If the Lakers wind up with Minnesota in the first round, who will you like in that series?
Oh, man, it's tough to say right now. I don't have to make that decision until we're on the precipice, because don't force me into making okay. a pick about a hypothetical series that might not take place. But I'm just telling you, a lot of the betting money will go toward the Lakers in that situation, because I think, number one, Minnesota's not at full strength. They're missing Karl Anthony Towns. And Oklahoma City is so young without a lot of collective playoff experience. And that is why people would tend to lean on LeBron and AD in that situation, because of their track record and the run they made last year to the conference finals despite having a mediocre regular season.
Yes, that betting money at ESPN Bet will come, at least in part, from me. See if we can't get a seeing green boost for that one. At number two, I put who wins the West. And I understand, I didn't mean who ultimately comes out of the West, but I mean who winds up number one. Because yeah. that does play. Look, if we have to live in a world where Denver, we don't just automatically put them in the final, right? Is someone going to beat them? And if that is the case, will anyone have home court advantage in a seven-game series against them?
It's less important to Denver than the other two teams. So let's see how they're going to treat the end of the season. Having said that, I don't think Mike Malone probably looked at the season, you know, 30 games ago, and thought they'd be in a position to just get the number one seed. Because it's almost like, well, if you want to give it to us, we'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way Minnesota, Oklahoma City were playing at the time, and I think Denver was a team that was just treating the regular season differently because they had a longer offseason. They won a championship. It's a different mindset the second year.
They can go win a road game if they're not in the one seed, and they know that. Not as important to them, but now they're sitting here 4 games ago, Green, just saying, well, if you're going to give it to us, we'll take it. Why not? Because they have one of the best home court records in the league over the last 3 years.
So I brought this up on the radio the other day. Would it surprise you more if Denver didn't make it to the final or if Boston didn't make it to the
Boston,
final?
Boston, for sure. Boston is head and shoulders better than everybody else in the Eastern Conference right now. Denver, I do think there are some teams that could challenge them. So I'd be more shocked if Denver won.
I get it.
If Boston wasn't in the finals, I would be absolutely stunned.
I get it. But isn't there some degree of trust that the Nuggets earned last year that the Celtics just haven't earned yet?
No, I agree with that. But here's the one reason I feel differently about the Boston Celtics, because I think Jason Tatum has to ring the bell in a big way. I do think people are looking at him and wondering and waiting. Here's the difference. He's never had Jaylen Brown on this level with him. So there's less pressure. There's greater margin for error for Jason Tatum in certain moments to not be great. And they can still win because of the versatility of that starting five, adding Holiday and Porzingis, and more importantly, because Jaylen Brown, a lot of nights, has been their best player over the last 2 months. That's why I have more confidence in the Boston Celtics than I did even a year ago.
All right, and then number one, my question was, can the Sixers make it out of the play-in? Alan Hahn was making a point looking at their schedule, and they get a win last night without Embiid against San Antonio. They could actually play their way into the sixth spot, meaning they don't even have to play those survive and advance games. But we talked about it earlier this hour. For those just joining us, the way Tyrese Maxey plays and the way he plays with Embiid, I genuinely believe they're the biggest threat to Boston in the
Totally East. Agree, and it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't think they're getting out of the play-in, but I do think it's important they get to the seventh spot so they get that game at home. Win that game, get into the seven for a best of seven, and you're going to get most likely the Bucks, maybe the Magic. But that's who the Sixers would get, and you're opposite the Celtics bracket until the conference finals. That's how important getting to the seventh spot is, or the sixth, but I don't think they can get there. I think the seven is where the Sixers need to target. You avoid Boston until the Eastern Conference Finals, and now you've got Embiid with, what, six, 8 games under his belt at that point, ready to make a run. By the way, they've also added Nicholas Batum, Kelly Oubre Jr., Buddy Hield. They've got great pieces around the two stars.
They are a team, the team to watch, in my opinion. All right, we'll continue with much more on this. The NBA's final week begins, and we have plenty of coverage of that coming up. And obviously, we'll be talking much more about South Carolina going wire to wire. It was the day for the confetti and the crown. We'll tell you exactly why the championship was even more impressive than you already think it was. Plus, the big breaking news from overnight. John Calipari leaving Kentucky. Jay Will is up early with his reaction next.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.